You're listening to the Sportsman's Nation Podcast Network, brought to you by Lacrosse Boots. Now, if you haven't heard yet, this is me telling you, you need to take a look at the new boots from Lacrosse, and they fall under the Navigator series. Now, what they've done is they've taken the best parts of a rubber boot and the best parts of your traditional hiking and hunting boot, and they've mashed them together to come up with this new line of boots from Lacrosse, and that is the Navigator series. Now, they have the women's Windrose, they have the men's Windrose, and then they have the Atlas series within that as well. So go to lacrossefootwear.com and check out this new line of boots that they have. I've been using mine for a couple weeks now, and I am very impressed with the fit and the feel, and I can't wait to get them in the woods this hunting season and give them a trial run. So lacrossefootwear.com, check them out.
Welcome back to the Backcountry Rookies Podcast. I'm your host, Chad Riker. And the Backcountry Rookies was designed to help educate and inspire hunters to head west for a backcountry big game hunt. Join us on our journey as we educate and inspire ourselves, as well as others, to be prepared for that hunt. And remember to never stop learning. The Backcountry Rookies Podcast is proudly brought to you by Elk 101's University of Elk Hunting, Go Hunt, and Onyx Hunt. The Elk 101 University of Elk Hunting is the most comprehensive elk hunting education platform you can get, from learning and knowing how to call elk to packing an elk out of the woods. University of Elk Hunting has it all. Use the code ROOKIES and save $20 on your membership today. Go Hunt is the fastest, most accurate way to plan for a hunt. The Go Hunt Insider gives you draw odds and statistics, in-depth unit analysis, interactive maps, historical weather patterns, and much more to help you plan for that upcoming hunt. Use the code ROOKIES when you purchase Go Hunt Insider and get $50 in store credit to use in the Go Hunt gear shop. Use Onyx Hunt to share crucial map information with your hunting partners and to stay on track in the field. Use the code ROOKIES and save 20% on your premium or elite membership today. Now let's get to the show. Welcome back to the podcast. So today I've got Miguel Sandoval coming on, and Miguel is coming on to talk about hunting with pack animals. He uses pack mules every year when he goes hunting out in Idaho, him and his crew that he hunts with. And I thought it'd be cool to have him come on and talk about how to use them, how they load them up, what all they load them up with, how, you know, just basically how they use them and why they use them. And of course, weight that they can carry and all of that kind of information. So we cover a lot of information throughout the show with pack animals. And then we talk a little bit about gear that Miguel uses in his transition with gear. He's been hunting the backcountry for 15 years, 19 years, something like that, a long time. And he talks about some of that transition that he made from when he started up until what he uses now. It's good to hear his perspective on that, so it's cool to hear it. The audio on this isn't perfect. It's a little muffled on Miguel's side. Nothing major. You can still clearly hear what he's saying and what he's talking about. It's a little muffled. So I think we'll get the show going. Oh, before we get started, send in your hunting stories. You guys know the deal on that. That's the hunting story giveaway. All the information can be found at backcountryrookies.com or on our Instagram page at backcountryrookies. Go to our link tree in our bio, and there's a link to the hunting story giveaway. Check all that stuff out. It's pretty easy to enter. All you got to do is write up your story and send it to us, and then we've got killer prize packages to give away. All that can be found at backcountryrookies.com on the hunting story giveaway menu. So with that, I think let's jump into this show. Let's get it going with Miguel Sandoval, and enjoy. Okay, so today I'm sitting here, I'm chatting with Miguel Sandoval, and we have some really neat topics to talk about, at least some stuff that I want to know more about, and hopefully the listeners do too. Miguel's coming on today, and we're going to talk about hunting with pack animals to try to pack your gear in and pack your gear out. And I'm not going to give away any of the conversation. So I'm going to let Miguel introduce himself, and then we'll just jump right into it. So with that, Miguel, why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself and a little of your hunting background, of course. Let's hear some about that, too.
Okay. Yeah, I was born and raised here in Idaho, in a small town just west of Boise called Wilder. It's a farming community. I grew up in a big family. There's 9 siblings and 7 boys. I'm the youngest, and we all hunt. I played sports growing up my entire life, football, basketball, baseball. As far as my hunting background, I've been hunting for a little over 20 years. Been bow hunting since I was 18, and you know, we've been pretty successful doing that. Early on, I mainly hunted with my brothers, and then I teamed up with my buddy Matt and Travis and Steven about 14 years ago, and I've been hunting with those guys ever since.
Well, that's pretty cool. So you put together a pretty solid team of guys, and you always stick together. I like that.
Yeah, they're great hunting partners. I mean, I can't complain one bit about them. They're solid dudes, and they're tough, and it's hard to find good hunting partners. I know a lot of guys out there complain about that, and I'm pretty lucky to have those guys.
Yeah. Well, yeah. It sounds like you may have found them before guys like me, this crew of people that just recently found backcountry hunting. Those are kind of old school guys, right? So they know what's going on out there, and that's a good combo to have, I think.
Yeah, Steven and Matt's dad both did backcountry hunting in the 70s. Steven's dad still does it, but yeah, so when you kind of learn from those guys, kind of, you know, you want to do the same thing they're doing. So.
Right. And does your does all of your family, you said everybody hunts, but do they all backcountry hunt, or are they more just the shoot from the truck?
Yeah, kinda? Yeah, they set up their nice, comfortable camps, and they're successful. They do, you know, they kill animals every year. This weekend, they killed 2 spike elk. So they're not trophy hunters. You know, first bull, they get a chance at the one, they shoot it.
Yeah. So you're in Idaho. There's no restriction in Idaho that like Colorado has restrictions, got to be a 4-point or have brow tines. And there's no restriction there.
No, it's any bull, any couch. I mean, it's a hair tag basically.
Nice.
They can shoot a cow as well. And there are a couple of units that are restricted, like St. Church. It's got to have brow tines.
Uh huh. Not too many people are diving off in the Frank Church though, are there?
No, I packed in with an older buddy of mine in 2011, and it's rugged country.
Yeah.
We're about 15 miles in, and he hasn't seen a soul in there in 20 years.
So we'll shift a little bit. So we're going to talk about pack animals. Were you using pack animals back then when you went into Frank Church?
Oh, yeah. He had 5 horses we took in. We had 2 riders and 3 packers.
Is it almost necessary when you're going into country like that?
I mean, yeah, I would say so. Like, it's in order to be ethical about the hunt, like trying to get the meat out without it spoiling on you in time, and just, you know, not to kill yourself because you're so far in there, I'd highly recommend using pack animals for that.
Yeah, or flying in, I guess. That's another option.
You can fly in as well. There's a few landing strips I know in the Spring Church.
Okay. All right. So how did you get introduced to hunting with pack animals?
So Matt and Travis, they went in a year prior, and they rented 2 mules, and I kind of just started with them. So I seen what they were doing. I wasn't the backcountry hunter yet, because I was still hunting with my family, and we were doing our normal, you know, camps. But I wanted to do it. I had a lot of ambition back then. I really wanted to get in the backcountry, and they, you know, they were a little hesitant at first. I'd only known Matt maybe less than a year, and it was his dad's spot that he that he's been having since the 70s, so he's a little hesitant on taking me. But he agreed to, and I just went in with him that first year. My first year with him didn't go so well. I used to work at Rush Wild, and I had a customer come in all the time with his horses. And I just kind of ran it by him, like, hey, would you mind running with your horses to take in there? And he's like, yeah, no problem. So we took two horses in there, and a non-experienced animal, he ended up just freaking out and started rolling down the mountain. He just basically jumped off.
Oh, my gosh.
So, yeah, it was good thing he didn't, he got banged up a little bit and break anything, thankfully. So we ended up having to unload all our stuff there on the trail. We had to, these guys built a trail, a little trail, because he was down there about 200 yards, and finally got him to go up, and he finally got on the trail, and we ran him back to town. And, we decided, we're going to have to hike all our stuff in without any animals. That was a tough trip. We had a lot of gear. So, that was my first experience, and...
I'm surprised you.
It wasn't a very good one.
I'm surprised you tried it again, to be honest with you.
Yeah, it was scary. It's scary. That wasn't the only time that's happened. And the only times it's happened to us is when we took animals that weren't experienced or animals that we borrowed from friends. So we said no more of that. We're trying to save money because it's an expensive trip.
Mm-hmm.
And these guys are—they're just awesome. Like, yeah, give them taking animals, but. He said, no more of that. I met a buddy, Dave. He used to be a guide in the same church, and he's got pack animals. And one day at work, I just asked him if we could rent them from him. And he's like, yeah, no problem. And we used to use two other ones. One of them passed away now, but we used two of his good mules, good big, strong mules. And he rent them from him every year.
Okay. Does he have more than just those two to rent? Like, is he a company that you can rent from?
He's not a company. I think he does rent them out to, like, a rancher up in the mountains. They pack salt in all summer. But, yeah, he's got quite a few animals. I'm not sure how many head he's got, but I'd imagine around 30 or so.
Okay. And are they usually booked up?
No. I'd say he's got a few available.
Okay. I'm just curious if people are looking for somebody that might have pack mules, who they can get a hold of. We'll probably talk about that again here in a little bit, but
yeah. And then we started using Steven's dad's mules about, I think it's our third year with them, and his dad, like I said, he's been packing in backcountry for, I don't know, his entire life, I'd imagine. So those animals are pretty solid.
And does he train those?
They don't train them as much. They're pretty busy. They don't have time to get out there. But they went in 2 weeks ago to clear trail and to pack in a few supplies just ahead of time, just mainly feed for them. So they did pretty good, sounded like. But now they don't get them out too much, unfortunately.
Gotcha. Well, okay. So that kind of leads me to the next question is, When you're packing in with them, what do they eat and how do you feed them? Do they have to carry their own food in?
We do take a bag of pellets for each meal for the trip, but there's a ton of grass. And we'll just kind of feed them that, like in camp, but we'll graze them during like a slow day or just whenever we can. But yeah, there's tons of grass. They're eating all the way in there.
Oh, okay. And then they just tie them up to something and let them just hang out and eat the whole time you're camped out.
Yeah, we'll either hobble them or run a line, and they'll just go out there and feed. We try and keep an eye on them, because we don't want them to get away.
Well, no, and do they attract predators? Do bears or mountain lions or coyotes or anything come up and try to get them?
We haven't had any issues with that. 2 years ago, where we park, we tied them up, just kind of tied them up to the tree while we unloaded everything, and there was actually a bear sitting in the tree, and we didn't realize it. We've got it on video. It's on one of my the hunts I put out. I tied that mule up, Junior, and not knowing there was a bear about 7 feet above my head.
Oh my God. And when did you realize the bear was there?
We were sitting around camp after we unloaded everything, hanging out, talking, and with our headlamps, we happened to kind of glance over and we seen some eyes in the tree. So we went over there. This was probably an hour after we tied him up. And he was sitting there. He was a younger bear, probably a 3-year-old.
Huh. Well, good thing you saw him before he came down and ravaged your camp, I guess.
Those mules that tore that little bear up, they're pretty, I mean, they're mean. You don't mess with the mule, though. They're big, strong animals, stomping to the ground. So we untied them. We moved the mules and got the bear out of the tree.
So you take in the pellets. What kind of pellets do they eat while you have them out?
They're grass pellets. Honestly, I'm not too sure of it because you guys always buy them, but they're just grass pellets that they sell like at D&D.
Okay. Yeah, I didn't know if it's a protein supplement or something to kind of keep them strong while they're out there or to help them recover or what.
I'd imagine they've got plenty of good nutrients in there for them.
Good. And then do they hunt with you? Do you take them with you when you hunt, or do you leave them at camp and come back and pick them up?
We leave them at base camp. So they pack all our gear in, and they pack all our gear out, of course, and our animals. But we've never gotten the mules to the kill site. It's so steep. We camp about 3,300 feet, and we're normally hunting the elk about 6,500, 7,000. So we climb that almost daily. By the time we kill an animal, we debone them. It would just kill us if we go back down and get the mules, bring them back up. There's four of us, so we just debone them. We can handle the load.
Okay. So you don't really... Go ahead.
I'm sorry. It's really hot that time of year, so we try and get that meat cooled down as fast as possible. And it takes us, anywhere from 4 to 6 hours just to get up into the elk, and maybe less, but... That time, if we did a round trip to go get the mules, it'd be too long.
Gotcha. Okay. So really you're using those mules to carry in all your base camp, and then the rest of the stuff is just backcountry hunting from there, it sounds like.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we'll spike out. We'll sleep on the mountain. We'll use hammocks, and you can usually hear the elk bugling all night. It's kind of cool.
That's really cool.
There's times when we're sitting up there on the hill and just laying in our hammocks and boulder bugling. It's just, I don't know, it's just like heaven. Look forward to it.
That's really neat. Man, I kind of want to be sitting on that mountaintop right now listening to them bugle.
Yeah, exactly. I'm looking forward to it. We're headed out on Friday. And I look forward to it every year for sure.
Yeah. So you debone all of your animal. A lot of guys will leave that meat on the quarter or, on the bone and get it out of there. Is there any reason why you debone it all?
We do because we're in there for so many days. We just, we don't want the bone sour.
Mm-hmm.
And it does lighten up the load a little bit, but it's not as rigid. So, it does tend to sag, but with our packs now, we've got meat shelves on there. We can kind of make, load them up higher so it rides better. And we have to debone them. They would bone sour on us if we didn't, because we've had meat down there for up to 7 days or so.
Okay, so you'd cut everything up, debone it, throw it in your game bags and hang it all up at, so I'm guessing you're hanging it all up at spike camp?
No, so we'll debone it right there where we kill it. Like you said, throw in our game bags, we'll pack it down to our base camp. And then we cut up round logs about 6 to 8 inches. We'll put about 5 of those across the creek and we'll set our game bags right on top of that.
Oh, okay. Good.
So we don't hang them in trees down there, which I'm sure would probably work, but it seems this way, it seems to take care of the meat better. That was that tip that my buddy Dave gave us, that packer with the guide. And he said he's had meat in there in the frame church up to 2 weeks. We haven't tested that, but it's worked really well for us. Mm-hmm. The biggest thing is the flies. You got to have a better synthetic game bags that keep them out, those cheap cotton ones. The one year it was cooler, so we hung them, and the flies just got to it. Our butcher wasn't very happy.
Oh, I bet. How much loss did you have out of that?
I'd say 50%.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the flies just laid their eggs right through those game bags. That was the last time we quit. We were done with that. We went with the better bags. They're a little bit more expensive, but, I mean, that didn't matter. We don't want to lose any meat.
Yeah. What game bags do you use now?
We're using 6 a.m. Outdoors.
Okay.
Just mentalities.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Very familiar. I have tons of that. I have tons of 6 a.m. stuff. And I use those. I also use his game bags. Just looking around for one, I'm sure.
Yeah.
I can't believe I don't have one laying here. But I think it's the antimicrobials. Yeah, that's the ones I use.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he set me up with one of those packs. I use the Dern Bear. They're really lightweight. They're awesome.
Yeah, I'm happy with it. Everything that I have of his is pretty good quality stuff. I always like.
Yeah, he does a great job. Justin's a good dude too. I don't know if you've ever met him or not.
Never in person. We've talked a lot of times. In fact, I did a podcast with him a couple months ago about his gear and stuff. And just a super, super awesome guy.
He might do a backcountry mule deer hunt with me this October. We haven't quite set that all up yet. I'm not sure if he's going to join me or not, but we talked about it. Last time I saw him.
Man, that'd be awesome. We're getting way off topic, but this is funny because so last year I had mentioned one of my good buddies that lives in Idaho. He wanted to go hunt the Frank Church. It's my buddy Jeremy. He's one of our team guys. And he wanted to hunt the Frank Church. And I mentioned that to Tristan and he was all over it. He was like, oh, if you guys go into the Frank Church, I want to go hunting with you so bad. So he was trying to, he wanted to get in there, but we didn't end up putting that hunt together, so no luck. But he's a super good dude. What pack do you use? What are you running for pack and all that kind of stuff?
I've got an XO pack.
Okay.
This is my fourth year with it now.
Mm-hmm. Well, that makes sense. You're an Idaho guy, right? They're Idaho company.
Yeah, and I know all those guys down there. They're really good dudes.
Mm-hmm.
And you gotta support your local. We have quite a few pack makers here in town, though.
Oh, who else is out there?
Black Streak, Initial Ascent, and there's one more. Tenzing, I believe. Yeah, Tenzing.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, we've been pretty good about, our guys are making packs here in Idaho. It's kind of cool. I haven't used any of those, but as soon as I put the XO on, I just fell in love with it, and it's made my life a lot better.
Yeah.
Just packing animals out. We pack out some years up to 20 big, big game animals, and you got to have a good, solid pack.
Yep. I think it's one of the essentials. There's a few things I think are must-haves, and the rest are, yeah, cool, I can get this. It's lightweight. It'll help me out, but to me, it's just a backpack and good boots is you got to have it.
You have to, yeah, good boots and a good backpack.
Yep.
Essential.
Yeah. I'm sorry. Let's go back to mules. We were kind of going off trail there.
All right.
What I wanted to get back, let's come back to the topic of pack animals, but what other pack animals have you used? I know you mentioned horses earlier. Have you used horses more than that one time?
So that first year is when we used the horses and they rolled off the mountain. Talked about. And then the one other time was in the Frank Church with my buddy, and he had all horses. And they were great animals. I don't think it matters if you use horses and mules as long as they're trained for it.
Okay. That was another question that I had, was why would somebody choose a mule over a horse or a llama or a goat or something like that?
Yeah, they do say that mules are more sure-footed. But in my experience with the horses, they did a great job. I didn't they were almost the same to me.
Okay. Yeah, good. But maybe his were well-trained, I guess, and ready to go.
They were. He used them every year packing there, so.
Okay. What other animals have you used?
So the one year we tried using llamas, And they just, I don't know, I'm not going to bash on llamas. I just don't think they were in shape. They can't carry quite the weight. I think they're about 100 pounds max. And they just couldn't go. The first few hundred yards, they just kept stopping. They didn't want to go. They started laying down. It just turned into a nightmare.
Huh.
So, and then they spit. Yeah, hit a few times.
Yeah, well, that's a good reason to not use them, I think. I don't like things spitting at me, to be honest with you.
No, it's nasty, too. And I know there's guys that use them, and if they're trained and they're constantly, you know, using them, then I'm sure they work fine, but they just can't carry quite the weight. I want a big, strong animal that can, you know, pack out our elk. You know, we're hunting elk. They're big animals, so.
Well, let's talk about that then. So how much weight can a mule carry?
They can handle 250 pounds easy.
Well, really?
Mm-hmm. We try not to overdo it, obviously, when we're packing in there. We try to keep it about 200 or between 150 and 200. But yeah, they can handle quite a bit. And the mules that we've got, they're junior and fed. They're big. They're bigger than your average mule. They're super strong.
Hmm.
So, yeah, they can handle quite a bit of weight.
And what sort of, do they need specialized harnesses, equipment, saddles, things like that?
Mm-hmm. Yes, we use sawbucks. They're the wooden style that they cross. And then, what else do we use? We use Deckers. I always forget the name of that one. That's one of a, got a metal deal right in the center. And it just uses a, just kind of loop it through. But, yeah. Mainly sawbucks and deckers is all we use.
Okay.
Then obviously you got your cool backs on them, and then the pad, and then the sawbucks go right on top of that.
Yeah. Okay. And then the bags, are those a specialized type of bag that you put the weight in, that you put meat or whatever in?
We have panniers, and they're canvas, and then we have a few sets that are leather.
Okay. Oh, no. Yeah.
Yep.
That's not going to rip.
it's pretty rocky on our way in, and we've torn them, which isn't good, but we'll usually throw in an extra set of panniers just in case, you know, one of them does tear really bad on us.
Hey, what's a panniard?
So it's the bags that you load all your gear in,
okay.
And then they'll go right on top of the sawbucks.
Okay, got it. Very good.
Some people use nannies where they wrap it and they tie it all down that way. We use panniards.
Okay, so there's multiple different ways that you can secure the load, I guess.
Yeah, we've even had the wooden box style. Not really a fan of those. You know, wood can break pretty easy.
Yeah, it seems like there wouldn't be a lot of give to it. Like if it was trying to bust through some brush or something like that, it might be.
Right, and there's not, the ones we used didn't have a lot of room. Some of these tiners we've got, we can really load them up.
Yeah, and then what's how many mules do you take in with you?
We take one apiece. It's worked out for us. So it's mainly been Travis, Matt, and I.
Okay.
This entire time. So we've always taken three. And then Steven started joining us he went in one of the first years we went in. We just kind of backpacked in there. And then he joined us 2 years ago. And he started bringing his dad's mules.
Gotcha. Well, that's cool, man. I think it would be fun to try that, especially that if you're going in there pretty far. So how far in do you guys go? Like how much?
So our base camp is just under 8 miles, but it's pretty rugged, steep 8 miles. It's not your easy trail miles.
Are you carrying in weight too when you guys go in, or do the mules pretty much pack everything in for you and you're just walking?
They do. They take most of our gear, but we pack our bows. I take the important things like my binoculars, video cameras, and the smaller things like that that I don't want. In case they do end up rolling down the mountain, I don't want them breaking. But, I'll usually try and go fairly light just because it's so steep and you're getting into the butt kicker. But I try and carry around 30 pounds or so. Then you got Travis. His pack's always super loaded. He's probably got about 50 pounds in his.
Yeah.
Okay. He's got everything in that thing. He's Mr. Prepared, that's for sure.
Well, it's good to have one of those on the hunting team, I guess.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he's got it all. If he needs something, he's most likely got it.
If you want, we'll shift over and start talking about gear a little bit. You've been doing this a long time, so I'd be interested in hearing sort of your evolution from when you started, you know, back in your teens to what you've evolved to now. I'm always curious when guys have been doing this for a while. Like, did you start out in the jeans and the flannel 20 years ago or whatever?
No, I never did use flannel and jeans, but my pants were just cotton, you know, from Walmart, and not the best clothing. And honestly, back when I first started hunting, I'd wear my shoes because the terrain was so bad. And then obviously got some boots, but yeah, I didn't use very expensive gear, very good gear back then. I usually just had a small fanny pack on, didn't even take the pack with me. As we got older and got more into the backcountry stuff, I definitely started buying better gear, better boots, clothing. I mean, everybody needs a lot of the crew stuff.
Okay. Yeah, you said you run an XO pack, which is a good pack.
I did. They're great packs. We ran Badlands for only those first 8-9 years. And back then, I mean, those were solid packs. They were, you know, they were the top. And we ran those. We weren't the most comfortable looking back on it now, what we have now, but they did the job. They're good packs.
And which XO do you run? What size?
There were 2200s we used. My XO now, I ran a 35, 155, and I just got the 48.
Oh, the new one, huh?
Yeah, I got the new one.
Nice. Those are I have a buddy of mine that I hike with here in the San Antonio area, and he just got the 4800 also. It looks like a pretty solid pack. Mm-hmm. I was checking it out. Looks nice.
Yeah. They've made a few different upgrades on it from the 5500 that I had last year. The 5500 is almost too big for me. You know, I could put way more gear than I wanted to be packing. I noticed last year I was carrying a lot more weight than I used to.
What are some of those things that you found that were not necessity? That extra stuff that you're just like, man, I just don't need that thing.
I try not to take things that are not. So, I mean, I always carry extra clothes. And some of those clothes aren't the lightest. But, no, I just try to, you know, pack, you know, water, food, my kill kit. I don't know, honestly, as far as what things weren't necessary, I think for the most part, just trying to lighten, maybe get a little bit lighter stuff.
Stuff that you had before that too heavy?
Right. A lot of the stuff I used to take in was a little too heavy. And just maybe spending the extra dollar on getting a little bit better, more lightweight stuff.
What tent do you run? What shelter?
So we sleep in hammocks.
Oh, okay.
On the hill, yeah. And then in base camp, we just have normal tents that we take in. But I do have a 6 a.m. tarp shelter that I have used for deer hunting now.
Gotcha. Do you put a tarp over the top of your hammock?
I haven't. We're looking at the forecast, and it looks like we might have some rain, so we're actually taking tarps this trip. So I'll take my 6 a.m. tarp. But I have used it while we're fishing. I've put it over to put the snow on.
Or while glassing or something like that, just kind of set it up for shade. Mm-hmm. There's
tarps. Yeah, that's nice.
Yeah, tarps are pretty handy because you can use them for a ton of stuff, and they don't weigh but, what, 3/4 of a pound? I mean, they're super light.
Yeah. Right. They'll save your butt for sure.
Yeah, I keep one in the bottom. So I just have a 2-man tent. But lately I've been keeping I've got a 6 a.m. tarp and some titanium stakes. And just kind of a really light little setup. And I throw that in the bottom of my pack. And it just rides there. Like if I need it for an emergency, I could bivvy out there in that thing for days if I needed to.
Yeah, even just when you're out hunting, you get a rainstorm hit you, you can set it up and just kind of sit under it and wait it out.
Yep, exactly. So do you do a lot of glassing out there in Idaho?
I do. Not for elk as much because the areas are a little thicker. But definitely for deer and bear, constantly glassing. We have a lot of open country with timber pockets, and you know, we glass a ton. I mean, I'll I almost become addicted to it with binoculars on my face constantly.
Which binos do you use?
I've got the Razor 12x50s by Vortex.
Okay, yeah. Great binos.
Yeah, I work at Sportsman's Warehouse part-time, so you get a pretty good deal on them.
Killer. Those are great. I have the 10x42s. I had the 12x50s, and I sold those, or I sell them or trade them. I can't remember, but I have the 10x42s, and now I wish I would have kept my 12x50s, but whatever.
Yeah, I had the 10x42s before these, and they just weren't quite enough, especially for, like, deer and bear, but no, I definitely love these 12x50s.
Do you carry any bigger glass with you, like a spotter or big binos?
I do. Yeah, I've got the 85mm Razor.
Okay.
Spotter. I've always had it, and then I sold it and bought a 65mm, and I hated it. It wasn't enough.
Oh, don't say that. Don't say that. That's mine. I've never put it side by side with an 85mm. I just got one of the new Viper 85mm, and I'm kind of scared to put them side by side because I know I'm going to be like, man, I want the Razor 85. Yeah.
It's a lot nicer, but yeah, I sold it and went right back to my 85. It weighs a little bit more, but it's worth it. I'd rather have a good, best class I can carry.
Yeah. Yeah, gotcha. Yeah. What else you got? Any other pieces of gear that you think are essential for the type of hunting you do?
Well, I mean, most of my gear is just my headlamps and obviously lighters, good knives, and good clothing. You don't want cotton get rained on, they don't dry out as well. But gaiters, pack those also. We do have Crocs that we pack with us, and they're nice when you're you know, setting up your harness, take the boots off, and slip those on and walk around, or if you ever need to cross any creeks, we have them. Just lounging around the camp, too, they're pretty nice to have. But, yeah, sometimes, even during the middle of the day when the elk aren't talking, it's nice to kick off your boots and throw some Crocs on.
Mm-hmm. What Kuyu line do you use? I know they've got a few different, like their Peloton line, and there's a couple others. Mm-hmm. Which Kuyu stuff are you?
I've mainly been using the Guide series.
Oh, okay.
And they're attack pants. I love them. I've got four or five sets of those. Guide, the coat's a little heavy, but I've been hitting a pretty hard rainstorm, and it's done a good job.
I thought that I had one of those Guide DCS jacket, I think is what it's called. I had one of those, and I got rid of it for that. I thought it was heavy also.
Yeah, it's pretty heavy. I like it, though, and I'll keep it in my pack. I started running the lighter weight stuff, too, and it's really nice.
Got it. Well, awesome. Anything else that you can think of that you want to talk about with the mules or gear or anything like that?
As far as, if guys are wanting to use mules, you don't have to be a cowboy to do it. We're not. The only time we handle them is our usually one or two trips a year. So it's a lot of work, but it's rewarding, and you can get away from the crowds. But just as far as just make sure that the animals are well trained and they know that they can pack. You don't want to take something that's never done it because you will have bad episodes if you do that.
Yeah, when you say it's a lot of work, what's the work like, what's involved with the kind of walk me through that, because I think that's probably a huge thing that we missed. Like, start at the trailhead when you're taking them off of the truck, and sort of what's the process to get them ready until you tether them at the camp?
So we load or we weigh everything prior, so we're leaving Friday. On Thursday we'll all meet up and we gotta load everything and make sure everything's evenly distributed on both sides. So if you have one side too heavy, it'll start sagging on the one. So just getting everything weighed, and just loading them up. You know, you gotta put their saddles on and getting everything thrown on top of them and just packing them in. They're not easy to deal with. You know, they got their own lines. They kind of push you around here and there, and just leading them in. They wear you out. They can walk faster than we can. And then just taking care of them in camp. You got to constantly, you know, we got to water them, feed them twice a day. And it's just a lot of work. There's been nights when we get back 2-3 in the morning, packing out an elk, and he's dead. Like, he just barely made it back to camp. We're just so tired. And, you know, we go take care of our meat. We got to take care of that first. And after that, we've got to go take care of the meals. So it's just a ton of work. But we like it, and it's rewarding.
Yeah, that's pretty neat.
Yeah, it seems like the work never ends when we're up there. You know, a lot of people always think, like, oh, it's so cool, you know, you use mules, all that. But it's work. You got to be prepared for it.
So just kind of an idea, what kind of loads are they taking in? Like, are you guys taking in big wall tents and stoves and that kind of stuff so that you can really set up a solid camp?
No, we don't take that in. It's September. It's fairly warm that time of year. We'll just take normal nylon tents, and we don't need heaters, obviously, that time of year also. But we take all the best food. We take in lawn chairs. We each get it one duffel bag, and we normally try to keep it under 50 pounds, which we can. And you get one duffel bag, you load all your clothes and any little gear you might need in that one. But we definitely pack in a fairly comfortable camp, I would say. And what makes it nice when you get back after hunting elk all day, you can relax.
Which one of you guys puts 50 pounds of beer in their duffel bag?
Those go on the mules.
Yeah, okay. Well, so there is a good purpose for those mules. I get it.
Yeah, we definitely pack beer in.
Yeah, good. Good.
You got to have it. It's nice to have a good cold beer when you get back.
So you're heading out this weekend, you said, which is early September. And what's in store? What kind of hunt are you guys doing?
So, yeah, we're after elk with our bows, obviously. And, yeah, we're just going to try and get in there and see if they're talking. They should. They're normally always talking. They're normally about 10 or 12 miles from any road, so they're pretty active. They haven't been chased around by people on four wheelers, and no pressure.
Yeah. How many days are you going
to be ours? We'll do 8 days.
Okay.
Two of those are used to get in and get out.
Okay. So 6 days on the mountain, which really?
Mm-hmm. Which is, it's plenty. Usually bring home at least two elk. Hopefully we're successful.
Mm-hmm.
But this is our 14th year going in.
You always go to the same spot?
Yeah, we hunt the same drainages. There's two or three different canyons that we hit. We've got to know the area pretty well, and the elk hang around. We just were able to get in on them. The biggest thing was holding off. A couple of Matt's not very picky. Travis and I like to hold off with a decent 6-point. He's shot a 340 bull before. Killed another 320, and then he's killed quite a few fives.
So backstraps, at least. Somebody's always got backstraps.
Yeah, we definitely have some when we get back in camp. And some of these guys have never tried heart before, and I love heart. So we took it down there, hedged it up last year, picked it up. They were pretty impressed with it.
I like heart and liver. So I just killed an axis deer down here in Texas, and that was the first thing I got in there for, was dump the guts, and I grabbed the heart and the liver and threw them in a bag and right on the ice, you know, threw them in the cooler.
There you go.
And then
I actually cut the tongue out too. They're good.
I have never had tongue, but I've had beef tongue, but I've never had like elk or game tongue, but I've had beef tongue.
They're really similar.
That elk heart, I'm sure, is much bigger than that axis heart that I had. It was about the size of a baseball, you know. It was just a little bitty thing, but I made some damn good tacos.
Yeah, elk heart's huge.
Well, so I wanted to use you as an example for motivation here, and that's, you just recently suffered a pretty bad shoulder injury, correct?
Yeah, Yeah, I dislocated my shoulder last Saturday.
On last Saturday, and you're going in
basically a week.
A week ago, and now you're going in on Friday. So about 12 days later, you're still going into the backcountry.
I am.
Clearly not going to be shooting, but supporting and, you know, can you carry a pack right now?
Yeah. This weekend, put on a little over 15 miles. My pack is only about 25 pounds. I just mainly wanted to test myself and see if I could handle it.
Mm-hmm.
And it was painful at times, but overall, it did pretty good. I wasn't able to push a lot of the branches and stuff away from my face, which wasn't fun, but I don't want to overdo it. I just kind of wanted to test myself because this hunt is pretty extreme.
Mm-hmm.
And the terrain is not forgiving, and I don't want to slip and fall, but I'm a little worried, but at the same time, I know I can do it. I'm not going to, I already told you guys, I'm going to take it easy. And they already know I'm not going to be able to help as much, and they said, no problem.
After hunting together for 15 years, I think it'd be pretty hard for those guys to say, no, man, you can't come with us. That's just
no, they was the opposite. They're like, you're coming with us. I'd say probably the better caller of the four. Travis is getting to be pretty good, and so I'm not saying the greatest, but I definitely call pretty well, and just they want me there, and I try and actually film my hunts. I've got a few hunts on YouTube that I put out, and so I'm gonna try my best to film it.
Okay, is that just under Miguel Sandoval?
It's actually under Team Reaper.
One more time, what is it?
Team Reaper.
Team Reaper.
Reaper. Mm-hmm. I only started filming about. This will be my third year, and I'm trying to learn as much as I can. I've got a good buddy that lives only, 10 minutes from my house, Justin Nelson, at a top priority.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I'm familiar with him.
Yeah. Yeah, he only lives down the road from me, and gotten to know him pretty well. And I just bought a camera, one of the old cameras from him not too long ago.
Cool.
So he's offered to help me kind of edit and put stuff together. He's a good dude.
That's the part that I get frustrated with is the editing. Filming is fun, right? You're out there, you're taking videos, hey, man, do this, whatever, do this. It's sitting down to try to edit that stuff. And I think it's, for me, I think it's because of the time that it takes. Like, I spend enough time editing podcasts and doing stuff like that. So then when I try to edit a video, I'm just like, oh, my God, there's more stuff. But
yeah, it's very time-consuming. And then just trying to put a hunt together and, trying to figure out where to start and if you got a good hunt going on bulls or bugling, you got your guys out front, that goes pretty smooth. But just trying to put everything together, and it's very time consuming.
Yeah.
But it's fun. I like to put out a little bit of content, but I'm still learning. Hoping to possibly on the full draw film tour one of these years, but we still got a lot of work.
Well, this might be the year.
Hopefully. But so I did apply for my crossbow permit, and so my doctor did sign it, and then I took that down to Idaho Fish and Game, and they approved it. So I do have that as an option. I'm actually picking up a crossbow today, so I may be packing a crossbow in there.
If you take it, I'd be interested in hearing how it is, just because they're a bit cumbersome to carry around, so I'd be curious how it is in the backcountry. I guess if it's on your pack, it probably wouldn't be that bad if you.
Yeah, it'll be on my pack, but they are heavy. They're like 8 pounds. So my buddy Steven, he offered to carry it for me. I'll most likely pack it in and hopefully get a shot off.
Have you done any filming or editing for Elk Addicts?
I haven't. No, Chris does all of that.
Yeah. He just put something out? Well, I know he just tagged a elk, but I don't know.
Yeah, he just shot a 4-point bull this weekend.
Yeah. Good.
Opening day, I believe.
Yeah, good.
He bought two tags, so he was trying to build a freezer, and actually talked to him this morning. Well, now it's time to try and get one of the big boys down.
Yeah, got that. At least he got meat in the freezer. Now he can play around and take his time and see, find that big one out there.
Yeah, exactly. He showed me some truck on photos. There's some pretty good bulls running around where he's at. So
good.
Hopefully he'll be able to harvest his first 6-point.
I hope so. I'm always hoping everybody gets a big one. But well, all right, man. We'll wrap it up there. So Team Reaper is your YouTube channel. How else can people track you down if they want to see your stuff or your pictures or whatever?
So my Instagram is Meg_Sandoval208. And then I've got Facebook. But that, I mainly try to post all hunting related stuff.
Okay. And I know you're a member of the Backcountry Rookies Nation, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Our Facebook group. So if anybody's trying to get in touch with Miguel, you can definitely get in touch with him on the Rookies Nation.
Yep.
All right, cool, man. Well, we'll wrap it up there. I appreciate the conversation. I've never really talked to anybody that runs mules or pack animals for that matter. And so I was kind of curious about packing them in and getting them out and how they work. So I appreciate the conversation.
Yeah, no problem.
All right, dude. I'll talk to you later. Good luck this weekend.
Okay. Thank you. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, you bet. All right, thanks to Miguel for coming on the show and talking to us. And certainly, he had a bum shoulder the whole time he was talking. I'm sure it was killing him. And best of luck to him out there. Actually, by the time this releases, he will already have been back. So if you go to his Instagram page, you should be able to see how their trip went and how everything went for those guys. Thank you to Dan Johnson at the Sportsman's Nation Podcast Network. And thanks again to all the sponsors of the show, Elk 101's University of Elk Hunting, Go Hunt, and Onyx Hunt. So don't forget, you can use the code ROOKIES across the board at any of those places, and you'll get some discounts from them. And that's all I've got for this week. We'll be back next week.